So I'd like to thank you all for inviting us to, first of all, offer my respectful obeisance to my guru, Srila Prabhupada, who has given me life, and he gave it to me on this Radhashtami day. And I'd like to say all glories to my dear God brothers, Giriraj Swami, and the other wonderful sannyas that I'm just meeting, but I'm sure that we are going to connect. And thank you all for taking such wonderful care of Radha Kala Chanji. We, as Nanda said, we were initiated here 40 years ago. And on that same day, Srila Prabhupada installed their beautiful lordships. So we have so many memories and so many heart connections with Radha Kala Chanji here at the temple. Also, I was back here 25 years ago when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was here and celebrating the 25th anniversary of their lordships. And we actually bathed the big deities with so many different substances, and that was totally auspicious. So I want to share, Anityananda asked me to share some of the memories and the pastimes. And before I do that, I just want to talk a little bit about Srimati Radharani, since she is my all-time favorite person, Srila Prabhupada and Srimati Radharani. And I always consider this my actual birthday because, again, Prabhupada initiated us on this day. So, you know, in the scriptures, it says that whenever there's a decline in religious principles, the Lord comes to the planet. And we have a good understanding that the Lord is not forced to come to the planet. He is the Lord of all the worlds. And this is, as my dear God brother Giriraj Swami said, a prison house. So the Lord is not obliged to come to the prison house. He is no more than President Obama is obliged to go to any prison. But why do the divine personalities come into this prison house? So the Lord came 5,000 years ago, and his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, came also. And they come simply out of their own sweet, divine, loving will. They're much like parents who have lost children who want to gather them back home. So Srimati Radharani, somebody asked me today, we had a wonderful driver, the gentleman from our congregation. We drove 20 hours to get here from Cleveland, Ohio. And he did most of the driving, bless his heart. And he asked me, well, who is Radharani? And I said, well, I hope that, you know, when we share a little bit, you'll learn a little bit. So just to briefly say, you know, what Srila Prabhupada has helped me to understand about Srimati Radharani. She is the heart of God. Are you okay? Okay. Jai. She's the mercy that lets us be okay after we fall. So Srimati Radharani is the internal nature of God, the internal potencies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that God is one, and Radha and Krishna are eternally one. And in order to enjoy loving pastimes, they become two. This is, of course, a very, very transcendental and esoteric topic. And by loving the Lord with all of our hearts and souls, we get to understand more and more of it. But just in general, Srimati Radharani is the mercy nature of God. She's the love nature. She's the compassion. She's the embodiment of bliss. Who makes God happy? That is Srimati Radharani. Who can make God happy? This big, huge, unlimited Lord that has so many facets and parts of himself. Who can make him happy? Srimati Radharani can make Krishna happy. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came in 1965, he came as a representative of Srimati Radharani. He came to distribute that same mercy to us fallen souls. In the scriptures, they tell us that you can't get to Krishna unless you go through Radharani, Srimati Radharani. But that's not really, really difficult if you have a sincere heart. Even the most fallen of souls can get to Srimati Radharani. And the way that we do it in this age is through Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna who came 500 years ago, and he came in what we call the mood of Srimati Radharani. Now, someone's in somebody's mood, that means that when you see him, you kind of get the sense of, oh, that's that person. Like I have a brother, and he's very, very good at impersonating people. So sometimes he'll get in the mood of somebody else, and you really get the image like, whoa, that's that person, because he's good at it. So Lord Chaitanya came in that mood of Srimati Radharani, and Lord Chaitanya came to save anybody and everybody without qualification, because that is really kind of the mood of Srimati Radharani. She wants that everybody love our Lord. So here we are far, far away from home in the material world. And some of us have gotten very comfortable. After so many different bodies, we've think, okay, I can enjoy this for a minute. I can have a little fun. Even though it's a little pain, sometimes I can take it. But actually, we really can't take it. This Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, this birth, death, disease, and old age is wearing and tearing on our soul. Because by nature, we are the essence of God. By nature, we're joyful. Somebody asked Prabhupada once, what's the purpose of life? You know how sometimes people want to give all these different lofty answers. But Prabhupada said simply it was to enjoy, to be happy. Because by nature, we are happy. So Srimati Radharani is our key to happiness. And we get Srimati Radharani by serving Lord Chaitanya. And we serve Lord Chaitanya by serving Lord Nityananda. And we serve Lord Nityananda by serving the six Goswamis. And we serve the six Goswamis by serving Srila Prabhupada. That's the key. Now, has anybody ever had a combination lock? Right? My son, he's in high school, he's in the ninth grade, 13 years old. He comes home with a combination lock. He sits there for 15 minutes trying to turn this way and that. He has the numbers, but he's doing it the wrong way. So then my husband gets the combination lock, and he just tells him, turn this way right, this way left, and this way right. Boom, the lock opens. So the spiritual master is the combination lock to all that is happy and joyful. He is the key. But because we are rebellious living entities, we want to do our own thing. We want to try our numbers. If the combination is 8, 48, 16, we say, let me try 7, 48, 16. Or let me try, instead of to the right, let me go to the left. But it won't work. The lock will not open. So we want that lock to open because we want to feel that happiness. And that is what Srimati Radharani comes to do. When we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, we get happiness. We get protection, we get the intelligence, how to make progress in spiritual life, and we get quick progress. You know, we say that prayer in order to make quick progress on the spiritual path. You can take so many lifetimes going back home, back to Godhead, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, you can take one lifetime. Because what is Prabhupada? He's the key. He's that combination lock that if we do what he said to do, chant 16 rounds every day, serve the deities, be kind to the devotees, serve the devotees. This is sometimes where, you know, we come short. If Krishna is in everyone's heart, how are we treating that Krishna in everyone's heart? We have to daily take inventory. So Srimati Radharani is this gorgeous, unlimitedly merciful lady who has the key to all that is good. And if we want to access Srimati Radharani, then we must go through Srila Prabhupada, the six Goswamis, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and so forth like that. So I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm just feeling chills going up and down my spine, trying to remember 40 years ago. Of course, we were in this room, I believe, because there was a prasadam hall. And I was 9 months pregnant when I came here. with my second child. And they gave me a service of mopping the prasadam out with this huge mop. But I did it. I'm going to give you a little background to the story. My mother, bless her heart, Mother Bumacha Devi Dasi, she got a Back to Godhead magazine from one of my brothers, who was really reluctant to give her that magazine because he said, if I give this magazine to my mother, she won't be my mother anymore. And he hid that magazine for a little while. The devotees in Cleveland were doing Sankirtan downtown, and he got a magazine from them. He didn't give her that magazine right away. But when he did, my mother gave up everything. She gave up her furniture. She went to the temple. She said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And at that point, she just started taking up Krishna consciousness along with my stepdad. I was in Chicago. I was a student at the University of Chicago. And my mother came some months later and gave me a Bhagavad Gita and that first album of Prabhupada, which I couldn't understand a word of it, except when he said, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to them. But I love that album. It was like he was singing in my heart. So my mother gave me the Bhagavad Gita, and she didn't try to explain so much. She just left Bhagavad Gita. And at the time, I was working at the Chicago Urban League also as a secretary. I've always loved to read. In fact, one of the ways that I could be punished was to take a book. I used to be in the bed at night with a flashlight reading. So when I got to Bhagavad Gita, it was like nectar, but it was like no other book that I had ever read in my life. Of course, you all know that. And I would take that book to work, and so people would say, well, what novel are you reading? Or, what, you know. But it was just that when I was reading those words by Srila Prabhupada, it was just this strange thing. It wasn't like it was reading from the outside. It was like it reading from the inside out. And when I finished that book, I knew that I just had to join Srila Prabhupada. So I came. I left my first husband. I thought that's what you do in those days. We made a few mistakes. And I came and I joined my mother in Cleveland. And we practiced Krishna consciousness for some months. And at the time, the temple had changed hands. So the president was Bhatua Gopal. I don't know if any devotees know Bhatua Gopal. And that devotee gave us such a hard time. Oh, my God. It was pure misery. The other day, I was looking through my old historical stuff, and I found a letter from Bhatua Gopal where he said, he told my mother, your children can't wear tilak, they can't cut their hair in sikas, they can't do this because you're not initiated. And I was thinking to myself, if somebody came in here today wanting to wear tilak and wear tilak, we think, wow, that's a great soul. But at the time, we just weren't there. So Bhatua Gopal, bless his heart, gave us such a hard time that it became literally impossible to really practice there. Don't despair, however. There's a good part to this story. During the interim, we would write Srila Prabhupada, and bless his heart, Prabhupada was the ultimate gentleman. We weren't initiated. We weren't really connected in any temple, but he always wrote us back. We still have those letters to this day. My mother was so excited about Krishna consciousness that she just wanted to name all her children Sanskrit names and let everybody, you know, come on with it, you know. And so she did that. And she took a Sanskrit name also. And when Prabhupada wrote her back, he wrote her in that Sanskrit name. Such a gentleman. And so So we were trying to practice Krishna consciousness there in Cleveland, but it became increasingly difficult. My mother had previously been like a yoga teacher, and so she had some students who had come to practice Krishna consciousness, and some of them left because they said, why are you staying here? If these people are treating you so mean, why are you being a part of this? But she said, this is the real deal, and she said, we haven't yet met the founder. He is a pure devotee. So my mother would always say that. So one day it just became so difficult. We had been arrested in the temple. And there had been a big newspaper about the Hare Krishnas being thrown out or whatever. So after that, my mother said, you know, we should probably try to go somewhere and find a temple where we can just practice Krishna consciousness. Now, bear in mind, this is 40 years ago. How many temples were out there, number one? Our families were rejecting us because we had grown up as Christians, and they were saying, isn't Lord Jesus Christ good enough for you? What are you doing? So the family rejected. Here we were, the devotees rejecting. Where we have to go? So I called my husband, the first husband at the time, and I said, you know, we have to leave here. And so he said, I'll come and I'll take you all wherever you want to go. So this is so strange, you all. And to try to repeat it, I'm just going to tell you like it happened. You put your own spin to it. I was pregnant. My mother, myself, I had one other child who was two, and four younger brothers. And then my husband, we all got in this old beat-up station wagon. Didn't have a clue where we were going, but my mother believed a lot in prayer and divine providence, and so she would literally pray. Who would dare do so? I would think I was crazy if I did that today. But literally, we did that. And we would get on the highway, she'd pray, and the Lord would just, in our heart, give her direction to go that way. And that's how we did it. And that's how we ended up in Dallas, Texas. I am telling you, we had never been here before. We never knew anybody here. So we come to the temple all tired from this long trip, and we had some mishaps on the way, but a lot of reassurance that Krishna is God, that there is none higher, everything is based on his desire, because he certainly took care of us. So we had a tire, my husband wants me to share this, that blew completely off the car. And the policeman, when he said, you all should be dead. He said, the car should have flipped over so many times. But by the grace of Krishna, it just boom, 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 and ended up in a very nice little ravine. And then this man came out of nowhere and said, I have to fix your tire. Now, we never knew him. We couldn't pay him. He wouldn't take it. He took the tire, fixed it, put it on, and he went on about his business. So we had some different things like that happen on the way to Radha Kala Chanji's place. So when we got here, you all can imagine the state of being that we must have been in, you know, even mentally and just physically, and the long drive and all these children. And so we went to the temple president, which I think was Stoka Krishna at the time. And so he said, well, excuse me. And he ran and he called Cleveland. And they said, don't let him in. They're troublemakers. And so my mother knew enough about Krishna consciousness to say, Prabhu, we've come all the way to Cleveland. Look, we're just women and children. We have nowhere to go. And he said, okay. You all can stay here, but just one night, because tomorrow Prabhupada will be here. Whoa, tomorrow, Prabhupada, our hero. Now, y'all have to understand that we had no clue that Prabhupada was even in the United States. What to speak of going anywhere near Dallas, Texas. So anyway, so we would have slept on the roof or whatever if he said Prabhupada was here. But when Prabhupada came the next day, the devotee said, Prabhupada, this black lady and all her children are here from Cleveland. And he said, tell her to come here, because, you know, they didn't know that Prabhupada had ridden us at least three times. And my mother sat in his office. I was just walking up down the hall trying to figure where was that office. And I think it was somewhere on the side. Of course, you all have made so many changes. But she sat in his office for 6 hours and just waited. And then the next day, she saw Prabhupada's secretary. I can't remember what his name was. And he said, Prabhu, Prabhupada is going to be performing initiations tomorrow. And my mother said, well, we want to be initiated. And so he went, and Prabhupada said, ask her how many does she want to get initiated. Now, I later heard from Bir Krishna Maharaj and Sasrub Maharaj that they were saying, Prabhupada, don't initiate them. We don't know what their sadhana is. We, you know, they're not connected. And, but, you know, Prabhupada being, you know, guided and being Prabhupada and being so merciful, he initiated us. By this time, my mother... my mother had called my stepfather And I said, you better get here. Prabhupada is here. So he flew down on, not a flew, but came on a bus overnight, and he was here. He had also been practicing Krishna consciousness with us. So when we got initiated, that was my stepdad, Prabhupada named him. I'm trying to remember, I think Prabhupada actually sat where he's sitting. Anyway, it was a long haul like this. Of course, it wasn't nearly this sophisticated or elegant. Very simple, because the devotees had just acquired the property. And so, but everything was really, really clean, and devotees were so, so sincere. And Sasvarup was the Ritvik guru. That is really the appropriate place to put that word, because he sat and performed the fire sacrifice while Prabhupada, you know, gave the names and oversaw everything. So my stepdad was initiated as Rup Chand, my mother, Bhumata, myself, Krishna Nandini, and my two younger brothers were initiated as Asutosh and Subhanu. And then after the, and there were some other people, I don't remember the other devotees except one. There was a young lady, her name was Krishna Priya. I've tried to search her out over the years, but not with much success. But anyway, after the initiations, then Srila Prabhupada installed the beautiful deities of Radha Kala Chandi. And so when I was here 25 years ago, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, bless his heart, he said, Krishna Nandini, you're like an auntie to Radha Kala Chandi, because Prabhupada initiated us first, and then did the installation. So I said, okay, maybe I have a little clout. And anyway, to kind of connect some other dots, about 3 years ago, I was in North Carolina, and I saw Bhatu Gopal at the temple. And he was given a class. And his verse that he was given a class on was, wherever there's Krishna and wherever there's Arjuna, there will certainly be victory, opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. And my son, Ghanashyam, was there with me at the time. And so I went up to Bhatu Gopal after class and said, Prabhu, because when they said his name, I didn't remember his face because he had gained a few pounds. I said, wow. And then I went up and said, Prabhu, do you remember me? And he said, you know, kind of vaguely. And I said, you know, my mother, Bhumata. He said, yeah, I remember you. He said, oh, Prabhu, he said, I am so sorry for how I treated you and your family. He said, if I could take it back, I would. He said, please apologize to your mother and your brothers and your stepdad, please. I said, Prabhu, I wouldn't let you take it back. I said, because of how you treated us, we ended up in Dallas, Texas, on the Radhastami, being initiated by Srila Prabhupada with the mercy of Radha Kala. How beautiful is that? I have a god sister, Archana Siddhi Devi Dasi, and she's writing a book called Finding the Gems in Misfortune, or When Bad is Good. And for Vaishnavas, for devotees, if we'll look back, a lot of times some of the so-called really bad things, if we have sincere hearts, really just kind of pushed us on, or they changed in something that would help us to grow more and to advance more. And so pretty soon we just have to get to the point where everything is Krishna, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. I may not understand all the intricacies, but Krishna is working always for my best good. And that's the ultimate realization. So that was so nice to see Bhatu Gopal, and it's like full circle. And then he asked me, he said, Krishnandini, you know the rest of that story? And I said, I think I do, because, you know, I had spoken to Bir Krishna Maharaj. And he said, well, Sasvarup Maharaj told me that a few years ago that Prabhupada, they had tried to convince Prabhupada not to initiate you all. And he said, Prabhupada just insisted. And he said, Prabhupada said, wherever I see a spark of devotion, I must fan it. Wherever I see a spark of devotion, I must fan it. That is such a powerful, loving mood. Prabhupada was like that. Wherever he saw even the teeniest little ember just trying, he fanned it. And we are to be like that. We are to try to fan the spark of devotion in the people's hearts as our offering back to Srila Prabhupada because of the life that he gave us. We are to fan that spark. And Bhatua Gopal said, Krishna Nandini, just think, if Prabhupada had not fanned that spark, if Prabhupada had not fanned the spark, what would I be doing? Such love that Prabhupada had for all of us. So, I always think in my heart, how can I ever pay Prabhupada back? I always think like that because I know that what Prabhupada gave me is just so invaluable. What price could I put on it? You know, he reconnected me back to the whole spiritual world. I was a fool. I was ignorant. I was lost. I was thinking I was the body. I was thinking that what was connected to the body, I didn't know how to be happy. But Prabhupada is giving us the key how to be happy, which is what our soul is hankering for. And if we actually at all appreciate that, it is our job to share that same love that Prabhupada shared with everybody else without discrimination. Krishna just loves every single living entity. There is no living entity that Krishna does not love. And the greatest service that we can do if we want to please Radha, if we want to please Krishna, is to share this love with others, to make sacrifices like Srila Prabhupada did to do that. I mean, here was Prabhupada, 70-some years old, heart attacks, dealing with crazy, weird people. But he did it because he loved Radha and Krishna. He did it because he felt like he had an obligation to his guru. So this is our responsibility as well. So here I sit 40 years later. And I'm telling you all, this has not been an easy path. I would not dare to tell you that. This path has been fraught with challenges and difficulties and pains and tears. But I wouldn't trade a single ounce of it. Not a single ounce. Well, I take that back. Some of the foolish, stupid things I did, I would trade that back. But any other, the tests that came, because they all helped me to surrender more. They all helped me to understand more that Krishna's running this show. And I'm just a teeny tiny infinitesimal spark of that divine, vibrant life. And that he wants me to be happy in spite of myself. So, let's see, what else can I share about that day? The tree, thank you. This is my gorgeous husband. My husband, Tariq Prabhu. We call him the transcendental Muslim because he's a Muslim. But yet, I've never seen a better devotee, practically. I'm so serious because he totally supports me in my service to Srila Prabhupada. I don't know how some of the things that I've been able to do on behalf of Prabhupada, I couldn't do them without him and without his permission. But he didn't just give permission, he gives support. Look at him, he's sitting here. So anyway, he's reminding me of the story. When you walk through that opening, there were two trees that were kind of hanging over together. And, you know, in those days, wherever Prabhupada went, we followed him just totally, so whenever he would allow. So wherever Prabhupada would walk through the hallway, through the streets, he would have throngs of devotees following him. So we were following him, and he walked through that opening, and someone had cut the tree. And Prabhupada stopped, and everybody stopped and got quiet. And Prabhupada said, "Who has cut this tree?" Nobody said a word. They knew that was something wrong that had occurred. Finally, one devotee said, "I did, Prabhupada." And he said, "Why? Never cut the tree." And the devotee said, "But Prabhupada, the tree was leaning over, and I thought I would clear space for the devotees." Prabhupada said, "You tie it back. Do not hurt a tree unnecessarily." And I'm looking like, a tree? I mean, here I was practicing Krishna consciousness, but right then I saw how a pure devotee has so much regard for all life. That was so instructive to me. that Prabhupada stopped, he noticed that tree, and he told us how to treat that tree. And so then later, something came up, and it was a job for somebody to do. And Prabhupada looked at that devotee that cut the tree, and he said, "You do it. You're sadistic." Prabhupada was awesome. Woo! And the devotee was so happy that Prabhupada had corrected him. He appreciated that because he knew that, you know, Prabhupada's love was so deep and genuine. Another experience that I remember here is that Kala Chunji, one of the artists that was here at the time, she had painted over Kala Chunji. And when Prabhupada saw that, he was very upset. And he said, "There will be no installation of the deities." Everybody was like, "Oh no, Prabhupada, what can we do? What can we do? What?" And so the devotee, the artist, bless her heart, she stayed up all night and scraped that paint off Kala Chunji that Prabhupada didn't want there. Because when Prabhupada said, "Who told you to do it?" And she said, "Well, such and such devotee said," and Prabhupada just was so upset with that. And she took that paint off. She stayed up all night. And then Prabhupada was pleased. And he, of course, did the installation. And it was so much happiness and blessings here. Another thing was that that Gurukula had just recently opened. And actually, after we were initiated, my two younger brothers stayed here and went to the Gurukula for a while. And one day, Prabhupada was giving some instruction to some of the teachers. And my mother said, "Krishnandini, go in there, go in there. You know, you want to be a teacher," or something. So I just kind of eased on in there. And the main thing I remember Prabhupada saying was that the most important thing that you need to teach children was to love them. The most important thing that you need to teach children is to love them. And I think as ISKCON, we've learned something from our mistakes, that unless you have this genuine love for children and a commitment to be an example for them, that you shouldn't be teaching Krishna's children. So I remember that. And he also told the teachers, don't hit the children with the sticks, just show the sticks. You know, fear, the fear factor, just show the sticks, but don't really hit them with it. So, my mother remembers that Kala Chunji weighed 360 pounds. Is that it, mother? Kala, yeah, 360 pounds of black marble. That when he came, that's how heavy Kala Chunji was. I don't remember how heavy Srimati Radharani was. I remember thinking that here's this big, beautiful, gorgeous Kala Chunji with this awesome face. And Radharani, she's kind of petite and tiny. But, you know, it's just like the Lord is protecting his Radha. You know, he's big and she's, you know, small like that. So Radha Kala Chunji Kichai. So, any questions, comments, or, you know, anything that you might want to ask?
It was a wonderful talk. I could speak more about the talk. But just on the very last point about how big Kala Chunji is and how little the Radharani is, I was told, and at the time I didn't question it, that there were two Krishnas and two Radhas, and the pairs got switched.
Yes.
Yeah. The Detroit Radharani was, quote, meant to be with Kala Chunji, and the petite Radharani was, quote, meant to be with the Krishna in Detroit. But as we know, Krishna's in control. Anyway, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. That's a true story, that Kala Chunji, the Radha, Srimati Radharani, that we have here was originally destined for Detroit, and the Detroit Srimati Radharani was originally destined for Dallas, but as Maharaj said, Krishna did what he wanted to do and got the Radha he wanted to have, when he wanted to have her, and such a nice pastime with that.
They caught it and said, wait a minute, you've got the wrong Radha. This Radha goes to Detroit, and this one goes to Dallas. So they said, oh, okay, so they corrected it. And then they closed up the case, the cartons and everything. But when the cartons got here, Radharani was had been switched again.
Well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, and the it's because the deity of Krishna in Detroit is shorter than Kalachanji.
Okay.
So his Radharani was shorter.
Oh.
And Kalachanji's proposed Radharani was bigger.
Oh.
But when it happened, after they caught it, it still turned up. The big Radharani went there. The petite Radharani came here. So in Detroit, they put Krishna on a 4-inch platform. They raised his base up so that he's not shorter. Because they realize, obviously, that Radharani wants to come here with Kalachanji.
Wow, I didn't know that part, Prabhu. Thank you. That's nice to share. And also, most of you all probably know that Kalachanji is at least 500 years old. Like, he's the oldest Krishna in America, at least. And I like that. There's something special about that. And I think about also that, you know, Lord Chaitanya was on the planet 500 years ago. Was there some connection that we don't know? I don't know. But anyway, Prabhu, someone had a question?
I was just going to ask if Prabhupada had mentioned any other details about the origins of Kalachanji, and I was just curious if you may have heard something throughout the years, or other than that he's 500 years old, or, you know.
I'm not aware of that. Is anyone aware if Prabhupada said any more details? I just know that Malati Devi and another god sister, Srimati, were sent to India to get deities. And Srimati found this deity, and she had to really fight to get him, from what I understand. Mirtiwala didn't want to give up Kalachanji because he said he was historic and ancient and that kind of thing. You know more details, Prabhu? Can we give him the mic?
When she found him, he was a doorstop for a tobacco shop.
My goodness.
Like an American
It was a
Indian.
Museum, I think.
Like here in the States, they have an American Indian's wooden carved, kind of like that.
Yes. So the devotee is saying that he, Kalachanji, was in a hidden mood when he was found, because whoever, the owner of that place, was using him as a doorstop to keep the door open. And, you know, think about it, Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji opening the door for us to come back home, back to Godhead.
Then Srila Prabhupada said he came here to oversee the Gurukula system.
Yes. Right, say that. Tell that pastime, Prabhu.
I don't know the pastime.
Oh, okay.
I just heard.
Does anybody know that pastime where Prabhupada said about Kalachanji could save all the children or something like that?
He came to oversee the Gurukula system.
Yes.
Protect the children, because
he's
big and
stout. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So your dad used to call it Big Tex.
Big Tex. Everything in Texas is big, right? This is the thing. So we get a big Kalachanji with his big head. I love that big head. Any other questions or comments or...
Yeah, Prabhupada named Kalachanji, beautiful moon-faced, because if you go, the pujaris all know this, when you go to Kalachanji, you see his face has a big, beautiful, like, moon on his face, like a white, beautiful mark around
the
his
beautiful
face.
Black moon, is that the name Kalachanji means?
Yeah.
Beautiful black moon.
Yeah.
And you can actually see a white mark?
Yeah, all the way around his face.
All around his face, wow. I don't know if I've... Oh, but Prabhupada saw it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was initiated, as I said, I was pregnant with my second child. And when we left Dallas, we left when Prabhupada left, except that my two brothers stayed here to go to the Gurukula. And when we left Dallas, we went to Nashville, Tennessee, because my stepdad had relatives there. And Prabhupada had actually given us permission to open a temple. And he had given instruction to one of the other disciples to give us all paraphernalia. We have those letters where he did that. And 2 days after leaving, after I had gave birth to my second child, this was the only pregnancy that I have 10 children that I've given birth to, 5 boys and 5 girls. And this was the only pregnancy where I never went to a doctor. I was just so enamored of Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada. I just thought he was everything, you know. And I never went to the doctor, so I didn't really have a clear date of when the baby was due. So right after she waited till I was initiated, which was a good thing. And then in Nashville, my brother, Asachar, he wrote me a letter, and he said, Krishnandini, you should write Prabhupada and ask him to name your baby. All the other devotees are doing it. So I wrote Prabhupada. I did know he was in India at that time. And I asked him to name the baby and to initiate her. You know, in those days, we were a little zealous and silly. And so, but I didn't get a letter back for 6 months, which, you know, we didn't name her. We just called her baby girl Dasi, Krishna Dasi, whatever, just waiting for Prabhupada to send the name. So when he wrote the letter, he said, my dear Krishna Nandini, Devi Dasi, please accept my blessings. Now you are my initiated disciple, and I must instruct you to always chant 16 rounds, associate with my devotees, and raise your children firmly up in Krishna consciousness. And he said, you can name the baby Bhakta Gaur Devi Dasi, and when she is older, we will initiate her. And he said, this will be the success of your life. So I took that instruction from Prabhupada as a real blessing, that somehow or other to try to raise my children for Krishna, try to do what Prabhupada said. And of course, as I said, it hasn't been easy, but I have always felt the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, never without that mercy, always felt it. And after Prabhupada left the planet, I remember just being in total chaos in my head and just, you know, Prabhupada always told us he would leave that body. He never promised anything crazy, but still we just thought he would live forever, I think. I mean, you know, it was hard to imagine. He had given us everything. He brought everything. What would life be without Prabhupada? It was just so hard to imagine that. So when he left, I had to really, really beg the Lord to allow me to find Prabhupada in my heart. Because finding your guru in your heart, you'll never, ever be separated from him. He will always be there and you'll always be connected. And somehow, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's allowed me to do that.
What was the main thing that you learned from your mother's act of faith? And could we see her stand up?
Oh, Jai. Mother Bhumacha, would you stand up? One of the pioneers in Krishna consciousness. So my husband's asking, what is the main thing I learned from my mother's act of faith? You know, Shraddha, faith, is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. And the deeper that faith gets, the more closer it gets to love. And I think one of the main thing I learned is to just have faith in Radha and Krishna, and most of all, Srila Prabhupada. Just never doubt what he had given, never doubt his instructions, just to have that faith no matter what, even when it didn't appear that anything was going right, just to hang on to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. I think that was the lesson I learned. We started one in Nashville, but we came back and did one in Cleveland. And it was called the Radha Shyama Sundar Lok Temple of ISKCON. And several devotees actually came through there, and some got initiated. And, You know, today in Cleveland, we have the Cleveland Namahata program, and we're doing more of a Bhakta Vriksha program where we're doing house programs and then encouraging other people to do house programs so that pretty soon we'll have Krishna consciousness in every house in Cleveland. That's our goal. So that's what we're doing now. Any other questions or comments? Oh, okay. Mother Bhumanta, you were... Pardon?
I would like to see you make the last word. This is Radha to me, day.
Yes.
And ended with her.
Okay. My mother said, let's end it glorifying Srimati Radharani.
I'm going to please her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So just as God is unlimited, Krishna is unlimited in his qualities, Srimati Radharani is unlimited in her qualities also, because remember, she is God also, God two in one. But she has 25 principal qualities that devotees glorify, and I'll just share some of those with you. And also, just to reiterate, when we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, we get intelligence, how to make progress in spiritual life. We get protection from fall down, and we get happiness. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. And we also get quick progress on the spiritual path. Okay, so here's the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani. She is sweetness personified. She is a fresh young girl. Her eyes are always moving. She is always brightly smiling. She possesses all auspicious marks on her body. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. She is expert in the art of singing. She is expert in presenting feminine attractions. Srimati Radharani is modest and gentle. She is always very, very merciful. She is transcendentally cunning. She knows how to dress nicely. She is always shy. She is always respectful. She is always patient. She is always very grave. She is enjoyed by Krishna. She is always situated on the highest devotional platform. She is the abode of the love of the residents of Gokula. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. She is the greatest amongst Krishna's girlfriends. She always keeps Krishna under her control. Jai Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. So, what time do we have? It's 12 o'clock. So I think that was when Nityananda said that we should do the next thing, right? Are we ready for the next thing? Very good. See, that's what I like about Krishna consciousness, just one fun thing after the another. And once we get in that mood, in that consciousness, sometimes we as devotees, we act like we should be sad or, you know, unhappy. But this is a joyful process, Prabhupada said. So if we're not being joyful, we got to take a little inventory. Why not? Are we not quite surrendered? Or no, we're not quite being humble. Are we not making some other devotee happy? So then if we do that, we can also plug into the happiness. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.